I'm going to turn way back to Genesis, to the fifth chapter of Genesis, beginning in the first verse. These are the first 14 verses. This is the list of the descendants of Adam. When God created humankind, he made them in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them humankind when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he became the father of Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. Seth lived after the birth of Enosh 807 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he became the father of Kenan. Enosh lived after the birth of Kenan 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he became the father of Mahalalel. Kenan lived after the birth of Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the years of Kenan were 910 years and he died. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you want more unpronounceable names, you can continue in Genesis. It goes on a little bit longer. There is a challenge on All Saints Sunday to talk about how we talk about the church. Most of us would be hesitant to call ourselves saints. That's reserved for somebody who's both dead and performs miracles, right? In Utah, the churches never celebrate All Saints Sunday because the dominant language of the state is that the saints belongs to that other church. So how is it that we talk about saints and somehow approach the fact that there have been some more recently than after Adam died, age 930 years? Well, we do it all the time. In the hallway out there, there's a silver cross, and with it is a blue tag typed up that says, "The youth of First Presbyterian Church traveled to Mexico in 2004 to work with the poor in the border town of Miguel Ayamán. The silver cross was a gift to the church by the youth in appreciation for the congregation's support of their trip." So I'm betting that there's only two people who were on that trip who are in the room. Dan and Susie, am I right? So how many of you were members here in 2004 for that trip? Raise your hands. When we talk about the saints of the church, isn't that who we're talking about? But wait, there's more plaques. If you're out in the side yard over by the parking lot, you may see this stone in the ground. Red oak trees in memory of Charles Bud Broadway, 1917 to 2000. How many of you knew Bud Broadway? How many of you have stories to tell about Bud Broadway? Right? Sort of going backwards in chronological order. We've got two plaques at various times. This one is 2004, dedicated to the glory of God in loving appreciation of service of Charles and Sue Broadway. So how many of you know Sue Broadway? How many of you have stories to tell? This one also hangs in the fellowship hall, the Sanders Educational Wing, as it's more officially and properly known, dedicated to the glory of God in loving memory of Benny and Ruth Sanders. How many of you have stories about Benny and Ruth Sanders? I'm back to the other side of Kay's wall back there. This plaque hangs about the dedication of this part of the building, When the church was moved here in 1962, First Presbyterian Church of Marion, Illinois, dedicated to the glory of God on November 18, 1962. The building committee, Ray Harris, Leora Fossard, Garnet Vest, John Geitman, Joe Randolph, Don Ridgely, Joseph Van Ruckel, minister, in memory of Ruth Sanders. How many of you know some of those people? Tim, I had better see your hand on that one. How many of you have stories to tell about Tim? Tim's got several. When we talk about the saints of the church, that's really what we're talking about. You notice when we read the lineages, not all of those were distinguished figures, right? Some were more infamous than famous. Some of them are slighted in the text. Did you catch how David and Solomon are connected? By the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Because she doesn't really need a name, right? We all know who we're talking about, right? We're talking about Bathsheba. In one of David's less distinguished moments. This is how we tell the story. A little bit of it is to remember the names. So if we go back further, right? Let's roll back the time before 1962. We're going to roll it all the way back to 1839. When Reverend Nehemiah Hunt and his wife Naomi came to Marion and did two things. They taught at the Bainbridge School, and they established on the square a two-story building for the worship of God that was the first church in Marion, period, and the First Presbyterian Church. There's a challenge when we forget the names. So we have to remember the names. And one of the ways we remember the names is we use them and we tell the stories. And All Saints Sunday gives us an excuse, and quite frankly, a kick in the pants and a prod to remind us that we should tell the stories and use the names. Marlon, I didn't know you and Jane were going to be here today, but there's a plaque on the wall over there from our Redeemer Church thanking the saints of this church for hosting that church for 5 years. So when we tell our story, we get to tell some of their story too. And when they tell their story, they get to tell some of our story too. For me, the funniest part of that is that Marlon had the early service. Because he doesn't do early morning real well. So when we tell the stories of the saints of God, what stories do we tell? I can tell you that some of you are legends already in the next generation. Bill Momsen is the ice cream man. And he is well loved as the bringer of the ice cream. And if you are remembered for nothing else, it will be for that. You never know what's important, do you? You never know what the narrative is. One of us tells the story of Don and Juanita Mitchell that when he was deployed in the Army, Don Mitchell was the only person who wrote him. And Don wrote him faithfully. And when he came home, Don and Juanita are the reason he came home to hear as well. We tell the stories of the saints of God, and they're really not that complicated. You don't need to do water into wine. Ice cream in a bowl is good enough a lot of days. a letter in the mail, a casserole dish at the door, a hug, someone knowing your name. We talk about saints, and we want them all to slay dragons. We want them to drive the snakes out of maybe our backyard and not just Ireland. We're not all saints like that. But we all have the opportunity to be the saints of God by being the people we were created to be in this place and in this time. We have a lot of opportunities to see the worst in the world all the time. And it feels like particularly right now, but we have a lot of opportunities to see the worst in the world. I invite you to go looking for the best. You know, if you need to have your tears jerked from your eyes, all you have to do is search for Soldier Homecoming on the internet and see someone walk in who's not supposed to be there yet. Sometimes they're hidden under like a gorilla costume or a football. You know, they do all sorts of crazy stuff. But the setup isn't important. What's important is the person walking through the door. We get told stories time after time of exceptional people who do little things. And those are the saints of God. Writing my senior thesis in college, I was reading through a lot of the old state Baptist newspapers. It was on race and theology in the Southern Baptist Convention, and came across this story from a small town in Texas. There are lots of small towns in Texas. There are lots of Baptist churches and Baptist colleges in small towns in Texas. And this guy, this is coming out of the 1960s, 1950s, was in the habit of writing a letter to every white baby born in his county, inviting them to come to college in 18 years. Well, one year, somehow, something messed up. And he sent a letter to a black baby whose mother held the letter for 18 years. I can't find things from last week, people. I mean, think about your homes. Think about what you can find from 18 years ago for just a moment and understand what work it takes to keep something for 18 years where you can find it. Because she walked into the president's office with her son 18 years later and asked the question, "Do you intend to honor this letter?" The school was integrated. The president was fired. You want to talk about personal integrity that makes for the saints of God? Do we think that keeping our word is that big a deal? Tim's Sunday school class this morning, when you honor commitments, right? Isn't that just what we're supposed to do? Saints come in all sorts of sizes and shapes. And it behooves us to remember not just their names, but their stories. And the only way they get from one group to the next is that we tell the stories. And some of them are wonderfully awesome stories. They're filled with uplift, and some of them are just filled with laughter, and some of them are filled with a teaching moment of, "And you'd better not ever try this yourself." And so we have these stories. I remember well an Easter sunrise service where there were martini boys in the choir. Do you know the martini boys? This used to be a four martini choir. I'm not sure if that's what the director had to have before they came or... And we were singing, "Low in the Grave He Lay." And there's a part of the refrain where it's up. And so there was an up every time we got to the refrain. And I never make it through an Easter without remembering that. Because those of you who know 25-year-old Max know that 17-year-old Max was not quite as philosophical. These are the stories of the saints of God. And while we gather on this day, particularly to remember those who have joined the church triumphant in the last year, we also gather to remember everything that makes possible the church every year and everyone. We remember 101-year-olds who still do Tai Chi twice a week and are willing to be the liturgist. So what is the rest of your excuses? We remember Gene Steinman, who at 92 would go out gigging and playing the trombone on Saturday night and still be here on Sunday morning. We remember the geezers on bicycles who have taught us all that a geezer mile is... There's three geezer miles to a standard mile. So if you ever need to measure that, that's what the equivalence is. And we tell those stories partly because they put a smile on our face and partly because they remind us of who God has put in our lives. So on All Saints Day, on every day, I encourage you to tell the stories of the people with unpronounceable names, the people that everybody else has forgotten, the people that it's easy to lose track of. Tell the stories. Live them out loud. Live them in both wonder and amazement and a bit of, whew, we got through that. Live them. Tell them. Share them so that they are not just names on a plaque in the hallway. They are the living stones out of which Christ's church is built. And to God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.